And so as we prepare to hear from God this day, I invite you to join me with a prayer of illumination. Can we pray in the Spirit and in one voice? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So we are on Christ the King Sunday. It is the last week of our sermon series called The Days Are Surely Coming, a preparatory season before the season of preparing, right? So we've been digging into these Old Testament texts, the words of the prophets who spoke on behalf of God to the people and spoke to God on behalf of the people. Did I say that right? That was different, right? Spoke for God to the people and spoke to God for the people. I got all of my prepositions right there. Yes. Okay, good. Awesome. So let us read Holy Scripture from the prophet Jeremiah. I'll be reading from the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. Hear now these words. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up from David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, the days are surely coming when we will remember and prepare for the birth of a Savior, and yet we are also waiting for you to return. As we hear this word from the prophet Jeremiah, may it stir within us and remind us of who you have called us to be. For you are a God who gathers his people together and embraces them with love and grace. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have spoken a little bit about prophets and their role in the history of God's people. Prophets often rose up or came on the scene during kingships. Now, if you remember, God saved God's people out of Egypt, brought them into the promised land, and they were just a tribe, a nation of tribes, right? All individual based on being the sons of Israel, who was formerly known as Jacob. But they wanted to be like all the other people around them because they were living in community with the previous inhabitants of the land, and what they called out for was a king. And Samuel was the one who was disgruntled because he had been leading them faithfully as a priest in service to God and took that to God, and God said, give them what they want. Give them a king because they're not forsaking you, they're forsaking me. And tell them what it's going to cost them. So the warning that came with the kingship was the fact that they would have to give up their strongest male offspring to be part of the king's army. Their first fruits, their best produce would also be taken into the stores of the king, that their labor would be to benefit and build up the kingdom and not for their own personal well-being. It was going to cost them dearly. The first king was Saul, who was beautiful in appearance, but who God was sad to have anointed as king, and because he was not doing what God wanted of him. And so a second king was anointed, and that was David. We remember David because David was able to defeat the Philistine giant, right, with a slingshot and a stone. But he was anointed to become the king because of his heart and not because of his outward appearance. And it was David who unified all the tribes of Israel into a united kingdom. And so there was this beautiful time period where all of God's people were united as one. The united kingdom that lasted about 100 years. And after David's reign, Solomon took over as king. And at the very beginning, he did what was good in the sight of God. But towards the end of his rule, he went a little sideways and was leading people astray by worshiping lowercase g's and not worshiping God and allowing the sin of the culture to infiltrate the kingdom. So this kingdom that had been put and brought together began to crumble, and that's where, if you are attuned to the history, there's this fracture when Solomon dies. The united kingdom breaks up into Israel, which is the northern kingdom, and Judah, which is the southern kingdom, with two different kings. And if you remember, the center of the united kingdom was Jerusalem, where they had built the temple, and that was the center of their worship life and where the Ark of the Covenant was placed to rest so that God's presence would be in that space. But with this division, that meant that the northern kingdom now had to have different places of worship. And they crafted these places of worship with golden calves. Does anybody remember what happened with the golden calf? So when Moses went up the hill to talk to God and was given the Ten Commandments, the people were left to their own devices, and they gathered all of their gold and wealth from their Egypt escape and melted a calf to worship as a symbol of God. And let me tell you, that was not what God had intended. And it angered Moses and it angered God, right? So here we see this replication of crafting this idol to worship, and that is not what God was asking of them. God was asking them to recognize the one true God and to not craft idols and to not use the Lord's name in vain, and this kingdom begins to fall apart, right? And you had some kings in succession that were good, that did what was right in the sight of God, and you had others who did not. And there's a chart that says king good, king evil, right? And you can kind of see that, you know, evil just pervades, and northern kingdom is basically going to evaporate and be destroyed well before the southern kingdom. And it's that we're talking about, right? This succession of power and how people were not following what God had asked. And here's the repeated pattern that you will find in Scripture. People will do something out of line with what God asks. Some ways that you might define that: sin, worshiping idols, participating in paganism, ignoring the poor, ignoring the justice issues, right? So there's something that humanity is doing, and because we've done that, there are consequences, right? That means that there is something that has to be done because of what we did, and maybe we suffer at the hands of powers, right? We are oppressed because we have submitted to authority that is not of God. And then once we're so overwhelmed by our consequences in our humanity, we may call out to God, In some instances, it might be uncle, right? Like, uncle, I'm done, you know, where you say, I can't take anymore. And so they would call out to God, and then God would rescue them. And this pattern is repeated over and over and over in Scripture. And that is what we're hearing, that Jeremiah is speaking to the people who are participating in paganism. And paganism was anything that was separate and apart from worshiping God. Right? And there were consequences. And the consequences to this was that God said, I will allow the foreign powers to overtake you, that you will end up in exile in Babylon. Maybe someday you'll be able to come back, but many of you won't. That's a really hard thing to hear. You know, because then that means they're ripped from their homeland, they're moved away from their families, and now they're in a foreign land trying to figure it out. And that is where Jeremiah is speaking. Because Jeremiah is pointing out that that will not always be what God intends. That there will come a day when God will rescue even those in exile to bring them home. And calls out the leaders who will be doing that work. Woe to the shepherds. Woe to those who shepherd my people. There's something about shepherd, and shepherd isn't something that we necessarily in today's age really kind of know, like an agrarian society would know. Because just quick show of hands, how many of you have sheep on your property that you are taking care of them? Okay, how about goats? No. How about chickens? But you don't really shepherd chickens. But do you see what I mean? Yeah, they kind of do their own thing, right? Unless you're driving on New Hill Holloman Road and you see the peacocks and the guineas and the chickens that are kind of at that intersection. But anyway, they're not being shepherded at all because they're across the street, right? You know, but it's not an image that we're used to in terms of shepherd, but it would have been something that was so tangible to them because their livelihood, they were wandering people who would have their livestock in the land, and they would have to make sure that they were protected, that they had water, that they had sufficient food in order to keep their livestock healthy and to multiply their flock, right? And if you, for whatever reason, fell asleep on the job and the wolves came, what would happen to your livestock? They'd be gone, right? You know, so there's this really significant thing about the shepherd, of the importance of that role. And so we hear from God, woe to you who are leading my people astray. Woe to you that are misdirecting their efforts, that do not honor who I am. Now, prophets spoke in two primary ways. And most importantly, I think what is most relevant for us right now is that they spoke against injustice. So just so you know what the other one is, it's about turning away from God, right? Not attuning to the practices that God had asked. So not worshiping God and injustices. And the injustices would be when we fail to care for the widows, when we fail to care for the orphans, when there is someone who wanders, you know, on their journey and is an outsider, do we welcome them in? Are we taking care of those who may not have sufficient to eat, to sleep, to drink, right? So they're really speaking against the injustices of the world. And for us, I think there are days where we see that. Do we see places of injustice? Yeah. And as people of God and people of faith, one of our roles is to speak out against that. We ourselves are our own shepherds. We are shepherds ourselves, shepherding the word of God into the world so that these places of injustice no longer continue. Right? So the days are surely coming when this will be no more. And there is this beautiful prophetic word that says, there will be a branch from David who will come to make this no more. As we stand on Christ the King Sunday, we know in our minds that it points us to Jesus. That is the branch of David that will be the Lord of righteousness, who will tell us and show us what this life attuned to God can look like. For the days are surely coming when you will no longer be in exile. The days are surely coming when you will continue to be my people and you will experience peace and you will be aligned with what I am doing in the world. Woe to the shepherds. Woe to the false prophets. Woe to the kings of this world that do not reflect God's heart. Woe to the shepherds. Kind of a hard thing to think about today. And then we're like, there's this hope that even though this word of God is difficult, there is hope. There is expectation because we are promised that Jesus is coming. And one of my favorite scripture passages, the one that I go to often, is a few chapters later in Jeremiah. Some of you may know this one, and sometimes we pluck it out, forgetting the context, but I've given you all the context. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm. To give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations in all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Jeremiah 29:1-14. So even though our own patterns of behavior can lead to our own destruction, that is not the end of the story. God is still at work in the world where Christ is the culmination of God's work then, now, and always. For surely the days are coming, friends, when none will be lost from the fold of God. None will suffer under oppression or injustice. None will feel lost in the world because we will all be gathered unto God through the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.